Everything we write has a focus on SEO, what words are where, you know, will this help your website? Will this help get you a consumer? But again, if a reader jumps onto a website and it's just stuffed, which is, you know, a 90s, early 2000s SEO tactic, it's going to turn them off. They have to have something they can read that they understand quickly.
Welcome to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Series. My name is Adam Arkfeld, an entrepreneur, marketer, and seeker of high performing habits, tips, and strategies. Each week, I'll bring to you an elite performer, a legal expert, or simply a strategy to help you see and follow the path to personal greatness in your firm and life. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Arkfeld, the president and founder of Prevail Legal Marketing. And today, I'm really excited to have Alan Watson and Victoria Lozano join me. They are the co-founders of Blue 7 Content, and we're going to be talking about everything content, SEO, and writing for your law firm. So, Alan, Victoria, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
All right. And as I was saying before we started, this is the first time I've had two guests on that are co-founders. So, everybody bear with me, just everybody involved. but let's get started. Why don't one of you tell me just a little bit about how the two of you met and a little background on the business and how it got started?
Oh, this is always a fun one because Victoria and I have known each other since about third grade. So our story is a real founding story. We both grew up in Surfside Beach, South Carolina. Same elementary school, same middle school, same high school, same undergrad. I mean, we followed each other. We finally split for graduate school. So we've known each other for a long time. And I think deep down, we always knew we were going to end up doing something together. She's married, so it's not marriage, but we did the business route. So it's as close as you can get to a real marriage. And we both became educators. And I'll let Victoria share her story in a minute. But, you know, I was in education. And then due to my parents' health, I had to change careers. It was a very quick and necessary career change and didn't know what I was going to do. Got lucky, landed in writing for a more legal marketing agency. That led into a little more because I realized, hey, you know what? This is something I'm good at. So I started as a writer for law firms, and Victoria was, you know, the same thing. So she came over with me with the agency as part-time, and I'll let her share what she was doing at the time. And, you know, I'll let Victoria kind of share her story, and then we'll talk about the business after she gives why she got into this.
So I always wanted to be a professor. So I went straight into higher education, knowing that, got my undergrad at Coastal Carolina, got my master's at Appalachian State University, and really had my heart set on going forward towards a PhD. And then kind of similar story to Alan here, my home life kind of started falling apart, and I realized that it wasn't, I needed something else. What I was doing in education wasn't sustainable. And so I started writing alongside with him, and we both really liked it. So I still maintained it in my career. I mean, I taught first year writing courses. I taught business writing courses, taught different rhetorical courses. I also taught women in gender studies. So I have like an array of knowledge and classroom knowledge as well. So we wanted to keep writing. And when we started getting into the legal realm, I started realizing that I was like quickly becoming obsessed with legal everything. And I decided, you know, what's better and like faster than a PhD? A JD. So I am now currently in my last semester of law school.
Congratulations. You're almost there.
Nice.
Very excited. So I go to Chicago Kent Law School. So I actually shifted and moved to Chicago as well. All the while, Alan's like, hey, I know you have a lot on your plate. Have you thought about us starting a business? And I was like, sure.
that was, you know, that was almost a necessity too, because Victoria did step back from the legal writing when she got into law school, but we knew we were going to do something. We just didn't know what it would look like, but the clients kept coming and I was turning people away, but we also at the same time noticed a real lack in the field, which I'm sure we'll get into, of, you know, quality writing for law firms. Like it's out there, but it's not a focus. You know, all these legal marketing agencies focus on a broad range of things instead of one, and that's okay. That's perfectly fine. But, you know, we said, why don't we try a company that is just content and see how well we can do it? And honestly, yeah, it was 50-50. We're like, this is either going to work or we're going to fall flat on our face. But let me tell you, it exploded on us very quickly. And we put up the website a little over a year ago. December, we have one writer, December of 2020. December 2021, now we have 12. So it got very busy very quickly, and we've never done any advertising. It's all been word of mouth, and a lot of times we don't know who's told who what about us, but the market's there. And but we've tried to build something different, and I'm sure that conversation we'll get around to how it's a little different than most other legal market agencies. So that's how we started. That's our, you know, our background, our origin story.
Yeah,
but so, that's where we're at.
So you both were writing at the same agency and then decided to start something together. And I mean, how did you get those early clients? I mean, you say that you had one client and then it was just word of mouth from there. Was that literally how it worked? I mean, is everything 100% word of mouth? Yeah. And
how did that well, and another, I'll tiptoe very delicately, because the hardest part about what we do is that we can't really talk about who we write for, because it's either not NDAs or they just aren't wild about us saying who we write for. But I can say we started with one agency. We grandfathered them into the business with their permission. We told them what we were doing. We started with two. We grandfathered in, and then people started contacting us after we got active with the website. The website hasn't been as good as a lead generator as LinkedIn. Honestly, LinkedIn is where everything's come from, and it's funneled in. We have a pretty consistent strategy with posting on there, it's tough to do, but we do. We try to keep our blogs active. We post. We try to make funny things here and there. And you know, the clients come to us, and we do the usual. You know, here's your samples. Here's, you know, let's negotiate our rates, and let's hit the ground running. And we've never lost a client, at least not because of quality reasons. Maybe because they went out of business or something happened on their end, but it's never been because of something we did. So we're proud of that. And, you know, we signed on a new one in December, a couple new ones, and we're having meetings this week, actually. So we'll see where that goes.
What's nice also is that because we focus on writing, the type of clients that we get are either individual, like solo practitioners, or small law firms that are looking to really make a more robust presence, right? Or increase their ranking, which is what we do. Or we get these, you know, agencies that are looking, you know, they're overwhelmed with work, and they're like, hey, we need additional writers. And we're like, yeah, we're ready. And then they experience us and they're like, yeah, right, we want to continue.
Let's continue this relationship.
So it's kind of, it's very cool to see, we get both of those aspects. So we get to really focus our writing all around, which is nice.
Now, one of the things that I have a question about is is there a difference or distinction between writing content for a website, like just, you know, saying I'm a legal writer, and SEO? Now, I know they're kind of the same thing, but is it just, are you always writing for SEO, or when are you writing for the consumer and not for Google? I mean, is there a line that's drawn there? How do you think about that?
Yeah, that's tough, because they, as you said, they are one and the same. But our focus, we agreed from the beginning, was going to be quality content, because we know how to write. Victoria and I have, you know, we're both natural writers, and we taught writing. So we bring that over to our company when we actually teach the people that work with us, even the most experienced writers. I am a firm believer that I can teach SEO tactics. I can't teach great writing, and at least not in the time frame that Victoria and I have with people. So if we have great writers, if we have people that can put sentences together that are well-written and understood, which is not something everybody can do, that's not bashing anybody. That's just something that doesn't come natural to some people.
Yeah.
If we can get those writers, listen, we'll show you how to do the SEO. That's not a problem there. And that's not to say SEO is easy. It's something you learn over time. But we need the good writing first. You can't back end a good SEO person into becoming a good writer, because it's going to be a dumpster fire of content coming at you. But yeah, it does end up being one and the same. I mean, you can't get around SEO. Everything we write has a focus on SEO, what words are where, you know, will this help your website? Will this help get you a consumer? But again, if a reader jumps onto a website and it's just stuffed, which is, you know, a 90s, early 2000s SEO tactic, it's going to turn them off. They have to have something they can read that they understand quickly. And that's how I think that Victoria, did I miss anything there?
Yeah. I mean, it's a delicate balance between your narrative and your keywords, right? I think that's also like why I love what we do, because we talk extensively with our clients. Like, what is the identity that you want to bring to the table? What is the type of tone you want your readers to see? You know, we do a lot of, sorry, I'm like fudging on the word, but it's like very geographic centered writing. Yeah. And we do that because we want it to sound really natural. And we want the readers who come to the page to see, okay, this page has authority. This page knows what it's talking about. This is someone that we can trust. And then in the background running is the algorithm. So strategically placing things where they need to be. And I think that's the little bit of the gem that Alan and I have worked through. We actually created a writing guide, and that's what we use to train our writers. And we have found that it's really successful, you know, at least from what we've heard so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a combination of art and science when it comes to SEO. You know, you have the technical side, which is Google, and you got to understand that algorithm. And then you have to not sound like a robot wrote the content.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
make sense. This word.
Exactly.
I always joke because it's like reading, you know, tea leaves, you know, Google's algorithm sometimes. And that's okay. Yeah. As long as you recognize that those leaves are going to change, you know, all the time. But if you have that foundation of quality writing, you can adjust to the tea leaves changing. You know, when I started writing, headings didn't mean as much. I look back at some of my early writing and I'm embarrassed, but I realize that, you know, Google's changed, our writing changes with it. You know, the headings are more informative. They have more keyword, you know, in them now. So it's just, everything changes. But if we have that basic foundation of good writers, good writing, we can adjust.
Yeah.
Now, SEO is one of those areas that is like black magic. You know, it's like nobody understands it, especially on the client side. And I feel fairly knowledgeable in marketing space and I don't understand it, but PPC is my world. What advice would you give someone when they're looking at SEO providers? How do you qualify a good SEO provider?
Victoria, I see you're jumping, so go for it.
What you should not look for is instantaneous results. That is something you should not be looking to. That is a giant red flag. So that's like, you know, not really answering, but answering, right? Like that is the first, I think what's been difficult in meeting different clients and getting to know them is that they've been burned so bad and companies and agencies have just taken all this money from them and have promised them so much and then nothing. And so we're very transparent and honest. We know the work that we do, results will be shown over time. From like 3 to 6 months, you should be seeing some real movement.
Or more.
Or sometimes longer, depending on how competitive your particular firm is, you know, and in your area, in your city, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, so I would say definitely avoid, that's the biggest red flag. But I think you can look for agencies who are looking to provide dedicated services that kind of like hold your hand throughout, because you're right. It's hard to tell people what we do unless you've done it. So our big key is communication. So if you're with someone who's willing to talk with you through it, I think is really good. Instead of just sending, you know, you an email and say, oh, we'll do it. And then you never hear from them again. Right. So having kind of that dedicated process, I think, is a green flag.
And again, we just do content. So I always tell people, you know, if you're looking for a full service web designer, we're not it. We'll work with them. And we do, honestly, we do with most of our solo firms. They have someone that does their website, does their backend optimization, you know, we'll give you the content that is, that we know is good, and you do with it what you want. And, you know, we really hope results will happen. I'm not going to make any kind of guarantees. You can't. And we had, you know, we kind of lost a client, kind of didn't. And, you know, someone made them some outrageous promises that I'll have you ranking number one for this keyword within the next 2 weeks. And I just said, okay. I wish
the claims that we make, that's what we say in PPC. We're going to rank you number one. And we hit those claims every time. So
yeah. Well, it's not going to happen.
It's a little different cost structure.
It is. Yeah.
You know, if you're looking, and you know, a big thing is you have to have someone you're comfortable working with. You know, if you have someone that's not willing to communicate with you, when people call our website or when they get on our website and email us and call us, they're getting through right to Victoria or myself.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you. And that's been a relief point for some people that have called us. Like I had someone that called and asked if they could, you know, when can they schedule an appointment? You know, thought I was, you know, the front desk person. I said, well, we're a small company. I had to chuckle. I'm like, we don't have a front desk person. I said, you're talking to the person you're going to talk to anyway. So, and that was a relief. They were happy to move forward. And they're still a client of ours now. And we just provide a different kind of relationship with people. We're willing to talk to you. If you call us, every client has my phone number. We can jump on a Zoom. We can talk about what's going on, adjust strategies. You need someone that's willing to talk. We're over communicators, we say, but we find that that's really what's helped us keep and maintain clients is we're an agency that will talk to you.
And also I think we do a good job of walking some of our clients through, you know, what do keywords look like? Like, it's kind of interesting that people come to us and they've never really looked at other sites, or they've never looked at other sites in the lens that we look at them. So it's really nice to walk them through that and be like, look, this is why this is ranking in such a way. And this is how we can adapt and work through when we're going through strategies with a new client. So, if, you know, to kind of go back to the question, like if you're someone and you're trying to figure out who to go with, you know, what should we do? I would definitely look at what they're promising, right? And how they're promising it. You want to try to stay away from that, particularly just for us writing an SEO. And then also if their website reads well, if they have good quality writing, go to their blog. What does their writing look like? Because all of our writing is from us. So what you see is what you get. So that's another, you know, if you're looking at their content and you're not really into it, then that's an indicator that you're probably not going to like what they deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also experienced, like you were saying earlier, that, well, you didn't say this exactly, but I've experienced that I feel like everyone thinks they're a good writer and very few people are actually good writers. And so, you know, if you're an attorney and you're trying to evaluate a company, I mean, this is, I don't know if you can really answer this question, but how do you evaluate if a company does good writing when in a lot of cases, I'll bet the client themselves aren't good writers, or maybe they're, you know, good at legal writing or something, because I don't feel very qualified to candidate. I don't feel very qualified to like qualify writers, and I'm trying to hire a writer. Sounds hard.
Yeah, no, we've written blogs about this, and Victoria will tell you firsthand. Now we have JDs on our staff, but we know that they're good writers. Not every JD is going to be a great writer, and there may be a brilliant litigator. And we've had to go in and fix websites where an attorney has written their content. And that's always a delicate process because it's their content. We don't want to say, hey, this is not good. But once we show them what good content looks like, and it's not just you can be a fantastic writer, but if you don't format it correctly for your website, if you don't have it short, I always say short sentences, short paragraphs, bullet points, you can convey brilliant information with short sentences, short paragraphs, bullet points, but a lawyer isn't going to do that for you. They're going to give you a research paper. You know, they're not going to give you the headings you need because that's not has not been their focus. It doesn't need to be their focus. So, you know, I say, look, some of us are attorneys, but that's not what we're doing. We're trying to get readers on your site that can understand your site. And that's not, you know, lawyer speak isn't going to work. It's going to make them click that back button. And I always say, look at our portfolio on our website. And that's the kind of writing I think we have an array of pages that communicate the type of writing that works well. It's good writing and it is formatted correctly.
Mm-hmm. I also think like there's such a, when we say good writing, you know, like it is a bit subjective, right? And we are former writing instructors, right? So like I've had classes of 25 plus students where I'm like, okay, here is what a sentence looks like, you know? And it's really interesting because it you can be a brilliant attorney with very good writing skills with what you do, with the type of writing that you do. Doesn't mean to say you're gonna be good at writing a blog for your website. I think it's funny that I can write practice area pages like blind now. I love doing them. But to write a blog for our own website, it is like pulling teeth. Like, I mean, Alan gets so, he's like, can you just write one? I've written five. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. But we pass that on to our writers now.
Right. Yeah. So it's just so interesting, you know, like it is subjective. I understand. And some people are just better at writing in different forms than others. And I think a repeated theme here is finding that balance of like narrative and technical language, right? And bringing in a narrative and figuring out where those keywords are going to go. And if you're an attorney and you're looking to kind of do this yourself, it is putting on a completely different hat because you're not an attorney anymore when you're writing this kind of stuff. You're using that language, you know, you're using your experience, but it is a different hat that you have to put on.
Yeah. Now, you've experienced a lot of growth over the last year. So kind of shifting to the business a little bit, what are some of the biggest challenges you've had since starting the business with the growth? What do you feel like you've had to overcome in the last 12 months?
Understanding, being able to have enough writers on staff to handle growth, which is very hard to do when you can't guarantee them that they're going to have work. So it's that's the hardest part, is making sure we have the writers that can handle an influx while also not guaranteeing them that they're going to have a certain amount of work. And our biggest thing has been finding the right writers. You know, we've done a great job. The writers that are with us are good. We've lost quite a few along the way. That's not to say they weren't good writers or weren't going to become good writers. Various reasons that they've dropped out. We tried in July a hiring of like 10. We'll never do that again. Never. No. One at a time. One at a time, and specifically sought out. We'll make sure they have experience doing this. Mm-hmm. And that is the hardest part, is finding and maintaining quality writers. And ensuring that we are able to scale up. You know, clients asked us, you know, how fast can you scale up? That was one of the first questions we got from one of our biggest first clients. And we said, oh, we can do that. No problem. That'll be easy. Well, that was a lie. That was not easy. we're at a point now where we're comfortable. We can do it now.
We understand what scaling up means now. So we're okay.
Yeah, fake it till you make it has been our motto, but we're there now. We feel like we're there now. We don't have to fake it as anymore. But you know, we do want to double our output this year. And you know, whether that'll happen or not, who knows? We've always been focused on organic growth and growing naturally. I think sometimes we force it. We want it to be faster, and that's where we get into trouble. That's where we get frustrated. We're like, well, where are the, you know, the clients will come when they need to come. You know, let's just deal with what we have now, because if we go too fast, our quality is going to dip. And that's not to say we put out perfect quality every time. We don't. Nobody is ever going to guarantee it. Well, they shouldn't guarantee you perfect content. It's how it's how you handle it. The issues is, you know, we do free rewrites if it's our fault. So, you know, that staffing, it's, you know, it's making sure you have the right people.
And I think that's what's been really unique. Having this, like being co-founders, you know, co-business owners, is when I start to freak out, he comes in and he's like, okay, let's take a deep breath. Like, and then when he starts to freak out, I'm like, remember last week when we had so much work and you were complaining? And just because we're in a lull, it's okay. It'll come back.
I think every lull is the end of the business. So that's my problem.
He's like, this is it. We're done. And I'm like, let's look at our email. It's fine, you know. So that's been kind of a really we're both super competitive. We are both very driven people. So we are constantly thinking of what is our next step? What is our next step? And sometimes we've kind of realized you have to stay on a step for just a little longer than what you thought. And that's okay. Because looking back, I'm glad we've paused when we've paused, because we have this amazing team of writers and we are having opportunities like this coming our way that we just never imagined.
Yeah, it's one of those entrepreneurial curses. You know, it's like you have the ideas and you want momentum and you want to move forward. And then it's like, all right, like I'm going to like revise my hiring process. And then you like do it. And then you're like, great, I'm done. Let's move on. It's like, no, not really. I mean, you barely did that. You haven't seen what the results are. And there's like 50 gaps in it, you know, or whatever. And that's something I've been working on myself is, okay, I'm really going to sit on this project for several months to make sure that it's like dialed in. And then I'll move on to the next project. Like I don't need five projects that aren't completed. Challenging. So with the hiring, I'd be interested to just hear like what your process looks like. I mean, it sounds like you've refined it quite a bit. Is it lengthy? Can you bring people on quickly? I mean, what are some like pro tips you could give someone that's hiring people based on your
experience? Well, we have in our back pocket now, we have a good list of people that have, honestly, people now come to us. We've had a lot of people seeking us out, looking for better opportunities. And I think Victoria will explain why and how we try to build a community with the people we do have. But to get the people we have, we started, our first writer was someone that we grew up with too. She's a brilliant writer. But our next writer was not. We didn't know her. She was across the country. She's also a brilliant writer. And our mass hiring, as I mentioned a moment ago, didn't work out the way we wanted it to. But when we do now, Victoria and I will Zoom. We really prefer face-to-face to get to know people to see if they're going to be a good fit. We talk to them. We look at their samples, but samples don't mean a lot because you can send your best samples over and that doesn't give you an idea of how someone's going to do writing 20 pages a week. When we bring someone on, when we decide to go with it, we have, they have a training session with Victoria and I. We spend an hour with them. They get to read our guides and they have to format according to those guides. Now, when Victoria and I started legal writing, that didn't exist. And it doesn't exist with any other agency that I'm aware of. They give you keywords. They say, here, go. That's not sustainable if you're looking for long-term quality writing. So we train and retain. We train the writers that are already good writers, and then we make them into what we need them to be for our particular content. And we pay them for every test article they do. None of this BS of unpaid work. That's just not right. It's not fair. That's why I think the business has done well, is because Victoria and I were both writers. We're not just some people who had this idea and said, here, go do it, when we didn't do it ourselves. We will never ask anybody to do something that we can't do ourselves. And that's partly for my benefit, because if every writer drops off tomorrow, I have to take over all the writing again. And I can't, if I had to, I'd still spend 4 hours every morning writing content. I'm not out of that mode yet. And we work with them, and if there's issues that are quality control, that's where, Victoria kind of steps in and we handle that. But the community that we built, the writers we have, is really beneficial because everybody can grow from one another. I'll let Victoria talk about that for a second, because we think this is where we really are special compared to other legal marketing agencies.
Yeah. So when we hire someone, when we first meet them, we ask them kind of what their goals are, right? Which is pretty common, right? Like, what are your goals for writing? What are your goals in working with us? We've asked kind of like their past experiences and blah, blah, blah. The reason why we wanted to start Blue7 also is because we knew what it was like to not get paid for work. Right? Like, when you start out in the freelance world, it's a whole beast on its own. We've both been ripped off. And we just did not want to continue that kind of experience. So one of the pillars of our business is that we pay our writers, and we will pay you for everything. So we are becoming pickier and choosier, because we want to make sure that, when you say you want to come on board, that, you're willing to commit to us as we are committing to you. With the understanding that this is still a freelance world, right? Like, you can still have your own clients, right? So, but we wanted to create a community of writing, because in all the research that I've done in rhetorical studies and in teaching writing, good writing comes from a community. Even though we sit on our laptops and we type alone, we're not alone. And we use our other writers to help foster, you know, growth and community by asking questions, right? When we are on like our Slack channel, if someone's having an issue with one blog or a practice area page, they can ask each other. If someone's having trouble with, you know, what is this website? Do you think this is legit? They can put it in the chat. So, and it's kind of given these, you know, freelancers from all over the US an ability to like find camaraderie with each other. So I think that's really has been some of the appeal when we get these writers who are advanced, who've been in the field for a while, and they're like, hey, you know, this is somewhere where I can actually like talk with other freelancers and, you know, really dig into like the business, right? And we have our monthly writer meetings as well, where we all touch base. We pay for that too. And we go over any type of quality issues that we have seen from our clients over the month. So not only are we getting that feedback, but we're getting that feedback to our individual writer, and then we're giving that as a group so that everyone gets it and everyone can share their experiences. And I think that's what's been the most fun about growing Blue 7 is just getting these meetings going, having everyone chatting with each other, using that energy to really perpetuate and motivate them to write better each time.
Can you tell we're former educators? I mean, it's just, I mean, that's our background. That's how we approach the business. It's, we want to be, we don't want to be this business owners that are unattached and not part of the actual business. We're there. We do the same things they do.
Yeah.
And we're all together.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the things you've been talking about with hiring and the community and the style guides that you create, those things are possible because of specialization, because this is the only thing that you're doing. And anybody that listens to me talk about marketing knows that I just am a really strong believer in specialization. I have a problem with most full service agencies. There is a place for them at a very large scale. I think at a small scale, they're typically a disservice to the clients that they're servicing, because, you know, you might have one or two, even if your full service agency is 20 people, if you're offering 10 products, you might have one or two writers. There's no community, there's no style guide, and kind of all the services are a little bit watered down. That's a really hard space to compete in and be effective. And so I love to hear that your specialization, it's like, you know, you're good at this thing. Like, nobody's coming to you for PPC. Nobody's coming to me for SEO, because these are the things that we specialize in, and that's why we can do great at them. So I think that's really great that you've been able to do that.
Thanks. Yeah.
That's our focus. So, I mean, I've always said this exact same thing you just said, you know, we don't want to water ourselves down. And if we try to get ahead of ourselves with thinking we can do other things, we have to remind ourselves, this is what we do and we do it well. Let's stay on that level.
Yeah. Now, I'm sort of curious. I mean, when you say you're writing services page for law firms, like, I don't know how many services there are. Let's say there's 20. I feel like if I'm an attorney, I'm like, can I just like buy the services page, you know, that you've already written? I mean, how do you like, what's the mindset around like keeping that fresh? I can imagine that writing a criminal defense services page for 50 firms.
Well, that's not the problem. Yeah. That is the problem. Well, and it's not, listen, what we do is going to be 80% personal injury, 10% criminal defense, 10% family law and whatever state law mostly. And so you're not kidding. You hit it on the head. When you have a law firm that needs, they service 5 to 10 cities and they need the same pages for every single one, where you're in a little bit of a pickle, and that's fine. You can't duplicate, and you run into a lot of problems. You can't buy generic pages. That, for one, Google's going to curse you, spit you out, and blacklist your site if you start using copy and paste content. And it's hard to get a site back after that happens, right? So you have to start from scratch. So, but that doesn't mean, you know, there's only a certain amount of ways you can say things. If we're working on a page and, you know, let's just use our area in South Carolina, you know, Myrtle Beach, you know, you have 5 cities around us. There's only so many ways I can discuss the South Carolina statute of limitations. That doesn't mean we can't use the same topics. We're going to have to, with some personal injury pages, to talk about the same things. Every personal injury page for every one of those cities has to give the same basic information that people there need to read. But it can't be the same. And this is where your nuance as a writer comes in. This is where your creativity comes in. This is why we really value quality work and why it takes a little bit of critical thinking, because you have to find a way to say that five different times for the same client without it being copy and paste. It doesn't mean it's not going to be similar. And this is a challenge. I promise you it's a challenge. It's something we've run into. And you know, as we all have our own distinct styles. I can tell you everybody, if I get a piece of writing from Victoria, I know it's hers. She knows what I write. We have our fingerprints. I can tell you every one of our writers, if I got a piece of their work without their name, I'd know.
Yeah,
because we use the same phrases and you don't realize it when you're doing it, but I use the same phrases too often. So I have to catch that when I go back and proof work, because I know that this is kind of, I will put the same phrase and, you know, all four out of those five pages. So it's, it's tough. It's tough enough not to, there's a such thing as accidental plagiarism. Of course we run our work through Copyscape or Grammarly, whatever, for the plagiarism checker. But, you know, we have to disregard common phrases because it'll pick up very common things. But it's tough not to plagiarize yourself, you know, and it's accidental in a lot of cases. Copy and paste is a no-no, obviously, but just, you know, using those same phrases, it is hard. But it's doable if you have that kind of quality writer that can think outside the box, not use the same exact headings on every page. You know, vary it up. We have lists of headings in our group, Google Docs, that people can, you know, sub out. We have 20, 30 headings that people can sub on personal injury pages to fill out a page, you know, you just word the heading, you know, appropriately and go, don't copy the same ones for every page.
Well, you can change the formatting sometimes, right? Move things around. I think this is where it's really nice to have two people, because I'll read some writers for a while and then I'll get burned out and then we'll switch and rotate and be like, okay, now it looks fresh. We also ask our writers to take breaths in between pages and to take time off from writing. So we teach during like our monthly writer meetings, we'll give like a little, like, you know, a little writing tip, right, on how to like make you sound less robotic, or if you are feeling fatigued, stop, because we can sometimes tell in our batch that they deliver, this was the one you wrote at 2 a.m. in the morning versus this is the one that you wrote at 9 after your first copy. So, you know, those are the, that's the kind of, that's the work that I like to do. So,
Well, I just want to ask one more question and have both of you answer it. So the question is, what's one thing that you wish that clients knew about your business that they probably don't know?
Oh gosh, you put me on the spot. You should, you'd give me a heads up before you ask that question. No, beforehand.
No, I prefer discomfort. That's my,
The one thing, Victoria, go.
I'm just making sure I understand the question. The one thing they don't know that we wish they knew.
Yeah. So like in PPC, it's like, I sort of wish clients knew that not every campaign is the same. It's like people think that because we're really good at PPC, or because not because we're really good, because we're specialists at PPC, like we can just like turn the dial and it works the same with every campaign. And it's like, well, you guys just be able to generate leads at the lowest cost. And it's just like, it's not really how it works. You know, it's just not how it works. So,
I mean, I wish our clients knew that their audience isn't who they think it is. When you leave law school, and I'm not a JD, Victoria's about to be, and I'm glad she's not next to me so she can't smack me. But, you know, JDs really, man, they want to use what they've learned. They want to put it out there. They want their pages to sound super smart, and because they're super smart people, right? But that's not going to work. You know, you can have well-written content that's not going to overload, you know, the brain. And we have to look at your audience, and we have to communicate with that audience in an intelligent way. That's not going to be using legal jargon for the most part. If you do, you have to explain it. So, you know, we know your audience, you might not. I wish, and that they still would probably argue with me on that, but that's what I think.
I hear, I see that on our landing pages, because we write a lot of landing pages. I see something similar to that with their profile, their bios. We get super long bios that have every accolade in there. And I'm just sort of like, they just want to know that you're like a good criminal defense attorney and that you have a family and you're not going to screw them over, you know, and that they went to law school, that you went to, like, that's kind of it, right? Like the bar is very
certified.
They don't know the organizations, you know? So yeah, we see a similar thing.
Yeah.
Victoria, about you, Victoria? You have yours?
I think I want them, and this may just may be me, but like, right. Like writing is such an undervalued piece of your site, you know, like spend a little, you know, on it, and know that it trust that it's going to work, you know, you're going to see the improvement. And so, you know, I know, you know, as a future attorney, right, crossing my fingers, still got to take the bar, you know, like we do a hell of a lot of writing. I mean, that's my life is just writing, you know, that's how we communicate, but it is a different form of communication. It is a different form of writing. It's something that takes experience, takes time, takes education to do. And it's worth it. I know a lot of clients come to us just exhausted. They're just so done with it. And they're like, I don't even know why I need this. I just want to do my job. I just want to be in the courtroom. And we just want them to know, like, take a deep breath. Let us do our magic. You do your magic there. We'll do our magic here.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the challenges with writing is that everybody can technically write. And so it's like, whether, you know, if you think about like building a website, not everybody can build a website, right? So like the value bar seems higher because it's like, oh, this person is a technical person that can build a website. With writing, it's like, oh, I can write. And then, you know, we've already gone over that, you know, like what type of writing it is. But so I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, sort of value seems almost diminished is because it's people think everybody can do it, but the quality bar is a totally different bar.
Yeah.
But, right.
Well, great. Well, thank you both so much for joining me today. If anybody wants to learn more about your company, where should they check you out and how can they get in contact?
Ooh. Yeah. Blue7content.com. You can message us on the contact page at the bottom of the page. Yeah, there's a phone number there. Call us. You'll come right through to me. You know, we'll hop on a call with you very quickly.
We're big talkers. So
yeah, we make sure that you know what you're getting.
We're not afraid of the phone.
Yeah, blue7content.com. You know, we're on LinkedIn as well. You know, you type us into Google search bar, you'll find us. We're ready for the conversation. You know, and there's no guarantees we'll be able to help you, but we would like to talk about it.
So, I don't think you need to end it on that.
We're very honest. That's one of the problems is we're way too honest with people. It's like, hey, you know, we hope we can help you.
We will. Yeah. We'll be very honest and transparent about
this. This is why we work together. So
well, excellent. Alan, Victoria, thank you so much. Thank you both. Thank you, Adam. Everybody listening, thank you for listening. And we'll see you in the next episode.